This morning we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to be taking a look at verse 14. And it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Through my time here, I have learned many things. I have had many teachers through my time here, and I want to thank each and every one of them by name this morning. I want to read a list. Some of those teachers are here today, and some of those are not here because of other ministries, and I think two of them are not here because they've passed on the glory. But I want to thank Dr. Joel Spencer, Dr. Charles Charette, Pastor Frank Kemp, Dr. Alton Bill, Dr. Bill Dillon, Mr. Larry Burris. I still remember this day. Dr. Ernest Childs, I had him for a class, systematic theology. I remember the last day when I walked out of that class, knowing that it was going to be the last class he taught, and I am forever thankful for his ministry. Mrs. Jennifer Mason, I am thankful for her in speech class. I am thankful that she did not look at me as a staff member and let me get by with things. I was speaking on England, and if you know anything about me, I can talk about England all the time. And I was in my speech, and I don't remember the time limit, Mrs. Mason, but she was, timing us, and I wasn't even at the conclusion yet. And she said, Mr. Bean, you're done. I was mid-sentence, and it was just like, whoa, just boil and just, but you know what? I learned something that day. And today, Mrs. Mason, I'll only go over about 5 to 10 minutes, okay? So, Mr. Todd Scoville, Dr. Don Scoville, had both of those guys for song leading. Mr. Barry Northcutt, basic maintenance and repair. Mrs. Karen Bailiff, yes, I took a little bit of piano, not much, but a little bit. Pastor Norman Johnston, I had him for one class. It was major prophets in summer school, and he said, "Brother Bean, I want to take it easy on you. I'm only going to give you one final, and that's it." I'm like, "Pastor Jay, that's not easy, you know." But I'm thankful for his ministry and his influence on my life. Dr. David Snyder, Mr. Ed Hembry, Mr. Dan DeLong, Mr. Eric Bowman, those guys from BIMI. Thankful for the time that they've had here. Dr. Roger Lucan, Mr. Matthew Henke, Dr. Bruce Love, and Dr. David Atkinson. I am so thankful that I had him for Dan and Rev and for 1 year. Pastor Randy Bray, the last teacher, Dr. Tom Ashley, and it has been a joy to have the Ashleys here this year and to get to know them. 23 individuals have taught me and have been my teachers here and in my 7 years of Bible college. And I hope that you will remember the teachers that have taught you and the things that they have taught you, much like Paul taught Timothy and was, his spiritual leader. Today, we have these men and women who are here at Ambassador. Now, I did not list any of the staff. I'm thankful for their friendship and their in ministry and their influence as well here at Ambassador. But guys, these are the people who have taught you, and you may not necessarily have a Paul-Timothy relationship with anyone. And I've struggled with that for many years, but I have come to the point to realize that that is not God's plan necessarily for how I have been discipled. I have been taught many things by these individuals here, and so have you. And just like Paul told Timothy to continue, today I want you to continue. I want you to just nail down the fact that you are going to continue in the things that you have learned. The word continue is not necessarily a word of continually moving, okay? It's the word meno. It can mean to stay. Actually, it does mean to stay. And now I'm not suggesting Dr. Bill or anybody else that we should all stay here. Okay, we are graduates. I'm not saying that you should stay here at Ambassador, but I'm saying that you should stay in the things that you have learned. And throughout your life, you are going to be tempted to waver. You're going to be tempted to change things. And it could be because other influences. It could be simply because of just things in your life not going the way that you necessarily want them to go or had planned for them to go. And I remember throughout my time here, I have heard Dr. Bill and others say, I remember in Bible college, this one time when I was tempted to quit. And I can tell you, I remember like the multiple times in Bible college when I was here that I was tempted to quit. And because of these people's example, my teachers, my leaders, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have committed and I have stayed. Now, I'm not done, and neither are you. Neither is anyone else here. We are to continue to stay in the things which we have learned. And even to the faculty and to the staff, we need you to continue to stay. There have been others. I have heard of people talk about their mentors and how they've changed. I pray that you do not change. Please continue. Please stay in the things that you have taught us and also in the things that you have even learned. When a child is young, right now, Theodore, at least I hope he does, I hope he thinks that I am like Mr. Everything. You know, he thinks that I can do anything. If we were working on his truck the other day, we got him a truck and it plays a sound that we don't particularly like. So I took that thing apart and I took out the switch that it plays the sound that we don't like. And I put it back together. And, you know, he just sees his dad as doing anything. You know, but when he gets older, much like most of us when we got older, we look at our parents and we're like, you know what? They don't know much of anything. I know more than they do. And then whenever you get to the age of older than thinking through that, maybe in your 20s or 30s, you realize that, you know what? Mom and dad, they knew everything. The same thing is with the Christian life. It's amazing to see when a person first trusts Christ as their Savior. They first accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're just so gung-ho about everything of the ministry and the Bible. You first come to Bible college, and you're like, this is great. But then you start getting older, and you start saying, they don't really know anything. My teachers, they don't really know anything. These people that have been in the ministry for years, they don't know much of anything. Then you get out in the ministry, you might change some things, you might waver, you might do different things, you might change where you have been, you may not continue, and then one day you're going to remember and realize, you know what, they did know. They knew the things that they had taught me, and they were correct in what they have taught. Today, I got 2 points to my message. The title of my message this morning is Never, Never, Never Give Up. Never give up. Continue. Stay. First point this morning is doctrinally stay. We need to doctrinally stay. The word continue is also used in John chapter 15 as abide. Us abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us. It's also used in 1 Peter 1:25. It says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. We should continue by courageously serving, courageously surrendering, courageously shepherding and suffering. I remember my first trip to England. I was sitting right back, actually where my family is. I did not plan for them to sit there, but this is great. I was sitting right back where my family is, and it was Dr. Tom Farrell. I believe it was Bible Conference 2016. He was preaching, and I don't remember anything he preached about. I just know that the Lord was telling me to go to England, and he had been telling me that for multiple months. And I came forward that Bible conference. It was a Thursday night, I believe, and I surrendered and I said, Lord, I want to go to England. If you don't want me to go to England, stop me. But I don't see why missionaries should go to England. I mean, people there are like Charles Spurgeon and everybody there loves the Lord. That was my thinking of it. And very, very incorrect. I got to England in 2018 and I said, I'll just rent a car. I'll just pick up and I'll rent a car and I'll just drive to my hotel. Well, just don't do that, okay? Don't just land in England, rent a car, and drive through London on the other side of the road, all right? It wasn't until I got to the roundabout that I realized the stupidity in what I have done. The roundabout doesn't just, you know, it's not on the other side of the road. It also goes the opposite way, all right? So you're turning different ways. These roundabouts have lanes in them, and they have stoplights in them and multiple lanes. And I'm thinking, I thought roundabouts were for the purpose of doing away with stoplights. But in the middle of London, right at Heathrow, that is not the case. After about an hour and a half of driving through London, the GPS said to turn left. It didn't dawn on me afterwards that I could have kept going around the circle until, you know, figuring out where I should go. But I just took a left, and I don't even know where I went. I got to my hotel, and I got inside, and I just sat down, and I started crying. I really did. I started weeping. And I'm like, is this culture shock? I mean, I don't know what's happening, okay? I called my wife, and I mean, just to my shame, I'm crying, and I'm like, honey, I don't want to be here. I want to come home, but you know what? I think I'm just going to get off the phone, and I'm going to take a nap. I took a nap, and after that, a missionary picked me up. We went and got some food, and the next day, I took the car back, and I traveled by train. But it was at that time that I'm like, I surrendered to go to England. I'm here. What's my problem? You know, I had to remember. I had to remember what God had done in my heart that day in 2016. I had to remember where He wanted me, what He had brought me to at this point, and where and why I'm in England, why I'm doing the things that I should be doing. You're going to get to a point in your life to where you're going to be tempted to quit. And I pray that you will remember, that you will courageously remember the things that God has taught you and the things that He has done in your life. It is important. It is just, you need to remember what God has done. Courageously surrender. Remember the day when you surrendered. Remember to surrender daily. Sometimes we have this idea that surrender is a one-time action. It's a daily surrender to God and to His Word and to what He wants. Now, courageously shepherd. This is just a good word that fits in the outline, but it has good application, obviously, to Paul and Timothy and to us today. But shepherd God's people. Pastors, wives, you can love God's people. You can help in reviving maybe the gift in you and also the gift in them. Remember the council. Remember the people who taught you. Remember the sheep. Remember the people that you're ministering to. Courageously suffer. Now, at the beginning of 1 Timothy, so you can turn over there, Second Timothy chapter 1. It says, verse 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Whenever you're suffering, you need to remember the power that God has given you. You need to remember what God has done in your life. You also need to, here we go. If I had my iPad, I'd be fine with this. But, you know, remember power, remember love, and remember a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear is being afraid without courage. You know, we need to have the courage to serve the Lord and to abide in Him. It is allowing your mind to worry. To worry is to not have faith. A sound mind is having self-control, not allowing your mind to wander and to worry about the things that you cannot change. Remember Philippians 4:8. Every time I remember that verse, I remember Mrs. Mason telling us that in speech class. Of all places, speech class. Because we asked her, Mrs. Mason, well, what things are approved or to do in speech class? And she said Philippians 4:8. I'm like, okay, there it is, right there. Remember Philippians 4:8. Now, we are to doctrinally stay. Now, we are also to devotedly stay. Doctrinally stay and devotedly stay. Be loyal to God and to His Word. Don't move. I remember as a college student here, Pastor Jay in chapel, he said that he hopes that whenever he gets to the end of his life, that he can look back and he can see multiple of his students continuing and staying with the Lord. And I pray that that is the case with you today. Now, I have an interesting story, and I'm going to go ahead and apologize to Mr. Metcalf, but it fits wonderfully with my message this morning, okay? Most of you know that I drive this little 86 Mitsubishi blue pickup truck, all right? I really love that truck, and it's not because it's small and blue. There's two reasons. One, my dad had a truck just much like that. Now, at the end of its life, it was not blue. It was multiple colors. We did refer to it as the redneck mobile. But that truck, I mean, it was actually an 84 Toyota pickup. And I love driving that truck. I remember the day when I learned to drive, and I'm like, I am going to drive a 5-speed. I don't care what it takes. And my mom will remember this. I got in the truck, and I started going downhill in our backyard, and she was panicking on the inside of the house. And I'm like, it's either now or never. Either I learn how to drive it or I don't know how to drive it. And I did. I figured out how to drive this truck. And so I've got this little blue truck. And every time I drive it, it reminds me of my dad. It really does. The other day, Theodore and I were in the truck. And we're in this small little blue truck, right? And beside us is this really big truck. And I'm like, Teddy, man, look at that big truck. I said, don't you like it? And he's like, no, Daddy, I like your small truck. I'm like, yes, yes, he likes the small truck. And I mean, it was at that moment, it was like a dad moment. I was tearing up, like, good job, son. You know, I love you. I want you to love this truck, too. Well, it was Bible conference week this year. and I'm in my office, and John Smith, he comes to my office, and he's like, Chris, do you not know how to park? I'm like, what do you mean? I don't know how to park. He's like, your truck, it's like crooked. I'm like, no, it's not. It's not crooked out there. And he's like, really, it is. You should go look. And I'm like, no, it's not. So I go, I'm going out, walking through here, and I look at my truck, and I'm like, somebody moved my truck? Why would you touch this thing? Why would you move my truck? And I'm thinking, I can't believe this. What college student would do this? And I'm looking, and I'm like, I got to tell Mr. Metcalf. Some college students moved my truck. They played this prank. This is not funny. So I go back to my office, and I'm like, oh, yeah, security cameras. We installed those. So I pull up the security feed, and I'm going through, and I'm seeing when the truck was being moved, and I'm like, it was Mr. Metcalf that moved my truck. I just could not believe it. You know, that's a funny story, and since then, somebody else has moved the truck, and I'm like, this thing's a curse, you know? Guys have these big personalities where they can move things, and they think they can do it. I should have titled the message, Don't Move the Truck, but it's funny, as funny as that is, it's a funny story, but could you imagine maybe your teacher, your mom or dad, one day they see, they've moved. They're not where they once were. I pray that that's never the case with me. I pray that's never the case with you. I pray that you stay. I've got five things here real quickly that I want you to stay in. I believe you need to have a devotedness to God's Word. You need to stay in God's Word. Yes, hold to it as a, you got it right here on my Bible here on my notes here. Hold to it as historical or hold to it as preserved and hold to it as God's Word, okay? And believe the Bible to be the Bible for why we hold to the King James Version. But believe in the sense also in the fact that it is God's Word. It is the answer for everything you have. You need to have a devotedness to the Word of God. You also need to have a devotedness to preach God's Word. Regardless of what others think, preach God's Word. I mean, there's been even times in my life when I'm nervous, I'm scared to get up and preach God's Word because I'm nervous about what other people would think. Most of that time was in England when I preached there. And I pray that when I go back that I will have a devotedness to preach His Word. Have a devotedness to the local church. Have a devotedness to the local church. Stay in the local church. Even if you are not necessarily in full-time ministry, stay in the local church and serve your Lord and Savior. That is one of the things that I have been thankful for, the many examples, including the Powells, including my mother, and including my great-grandmother. This morning I'm preaching from my great-grandmother's Bible. I was going to show Dr. Lucan this morning, but he was giving a final, and shocker, right? Giving a final. But I was going to show Dr. Lucan that my great-grandmother's Bible. My grandpa gave her this Bible, and I think it was 1970, the date's in the front of it. And I've gone through and I see so many notes. I see so many things that she's written in there. And I am thankful for her. I'm thankful for even her father, who was a Baptist preacher in Alabama. And we know of two churches that he's planted. I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful for my mom for continuing and staying in God's Word. And we need to do the same thing. And a committedness to the local church. Have a devotedness to world evangelism and also personal evangelism. You know, we have learned that here at Ambassador, specifically personal evangelism and also world evangelism. I am thankful for Pastor Jay and this coin that we did up. It reminds me of world evangelism. And this thing has gone with me to England. And even when I went to England in 2018, Pastor Jay actually passed away right before I was to go. And in front of my door the next day after his passing was some boxes in front of my door for me to take to England. And some material to pass out. And you better believe it, I passed out that material, especially knowing he gave it to me to pass out. Also a devotedness to separation. Now this is something, just to be honest, has been difficult for me. It's been difficult for me personally. It's been difficult for me to see others who do not have a devotedness to separation. But it is important that you devote to be separate from the world. You must be and you have to be. In order for you to fully do the other four things, you must have a devotedness to separation. There's a reason for that, and I'm not going to go into much of that even this morning just because of the time, but also because you have learned that here at Ambassador. And freshmen, you will continue to learn that. And sophomores and juniors, you will continue to learn that as well. In conclusion, this is where I've got the title of the message. During World War II, Winston Churchill had so much pressure to change, to talk with the enemy, to talk with Hitler. He had so much pressure from so many areas. And he got up and he gave his never, never, never give in speech, the never give in speech. And it was, I don't have the date, but I remember it was October 29th, 1941, when he gave that speech. And what's interesting is November 7th, I believe, 1941, Pearl Harbor happened right after that. Could you imagine if Winston Churchill had given in? How our world would be today? I mean, it would be completely different. Winston Churchill said, never give in, never, 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 in nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense, never yield to force, never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy, never, never, never give up. And today, college student, young student, faculty member, staff member, I pray for myself that we will never give up in the things that we have learned and the things that we have been taught here and that we have learned from our teachers, but also the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ will continue to teach you things. And that, to be honest, is only if you continue to stay in His Word. The Lord cannot teach you something if you're not in His Word. Remember Dr. Child saying multiple times to read your Bible every day, but specifically in the morning. And I never understood why college students would argue with him about when is the right time to read your Bible. Okay. I learned that for me, it is the best time to read my Bible is in the morning. And I hope that is the case with you, because if I don't do it in the morning, I'm going to come up with other reasons, because I'm going to get busy. You must continue. You must stay in God's Word. Devotedly stay and doctrinally stay in the things that you have learned.